Jimmy, this is Carmen Tagano. Congratulations on your retirement. You know, I've been around here a while, and I've watched your career, you know, go from paper to radio. And you've had a great run. The great Mike DePalmer used to refer to you as the Dick Vitale of tennis because of your support. He truly appreciated that when he was building his tennis empire. Anyway, I did hear, however, that if you played tennis against Jimmy Himes, the court was always smaller on his side of the net. I don't know if that's true or not, but you're going to find out as you get older, you're going to get slower, so you might want to keep that method. Anyway, hey, enjoy retirement. I am. It's like six Saturdays, and they bring you a fat newspaper. Be well.
Hour number two of Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Himes, as today the program is at Fieldhouse Social, right there at University Commons.
Carmen doesn't know the size of a tennis court. What? Why would he even bring that up? My goodness. And, yes, it is smaller on my side of the court. I didn't design it that way. It just is. Thank you, Carmen.
Let's get a call from Grant. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Grant.
Hey, what's interesting about Luka being listed at 6'7", didn't the NBA start measuring heights without their shoes on? So maybe him and Bird were about the same height.
Ah.
With their shoes on.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, but I think Doncic, I think a lot of people predicted some issues with Kyrie because Luka likes bringing the ball to court. So, of course, you know, bringing a point guard like Kyrie in town. I guess there's bound to be issues. But that's not why I called. Jimmy, I'm honored to be on, and I'm going to miss hearing both y'all in the afternoons. You guys are pros in what you do, and I'm truly going to miss it. But I have an opinion question. I want to see if I can get y'all to maybe disagree with each other a little bit. With the Final Four, the way it is, you know, but the highest seeds of four, and of course, you know, baseball starting up. And I think last year we took issue with the lengthy road Tennessee had to take to try to get to Omaha. Are you guys fans of the expanding playoffs, expanding into season tournaments, or are you kind of the school of thought that you earn it during the season? And what you know, just kind of a devil's advocate point of view, I would say NBA is probably the league that where the season probably matters the least, and they invite the most teams to the playoffs. But at the end of the year, more often than not, the NBA sees two of the best teams playing in the championship. But I don't think every other sport is like that, certainly on the college level as well. But what are y'all's opinions? Do you like growing playoffs, or do you prefer to earn it during the season? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Grant, sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Grant. What do you think, Jimmy?
I prefer that you earn it during the season and that they don't expand. I don't like the men's or women's basketball tournament going from 68 to 90. Isn't that the number they were talking about?
Yes.
Why? I actually prefer 64, not 68. I don't think the 65 team or 67 team has an argument about being in the tournament. So, but no, I am not in favor of expanding the NCAA tournament, men or women, to 90.
Yeah, I don't have a huge issue with what the NFL did in taking away one of the byes for the second best seed in a conference when they added a seventh team. I'm A-okay with that. I certainly understand everything that'll go behind the college football playoff expanding from 4 to 12 teams. I haven't been for what the although I will say this, I think I enjoyed more of an opportunity for the wild card teams this past year in the Major League Baseball playoffs versus what they had done prior to. So I do think that, yeah, you've got a little wiggle room there. And the NBA, I think it is the most teams get in, the greatest percentage of teams get in because you have those now play-ins that it used to be
right.
7 and 8 would go on the road and play 1 and 2, but now 7 and 8 get to prove their mettle against 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And if you're 7 or 8, you get 2 shots to make it. If you're 9 or 10, you get 1 shot. And if you don't win, you're just done. That I'm still not a fan of.
I'm not either. I don't think they should have expanded it. Now, what's interesting is you probably get good games because you got two average teams playing each other.
That's a fantastic
point. seven, but you know, when you got 8 versus 9 or 7 versus 10, whatever, 10, whatever it is. But I think that the regular season should mean a little bit more than that, and I think you should get on the merits of that. Did they not adopt this during the COVID year, John, where they couldn't play all the games and get all that, so they figured, well, let's go ahead and expand it and try to be as fair with everybody as we can because you weren't playing 82 games. And so then they decided, hey, well, that looked like it worked. Let's carry that over to the next couple of years.
I do think that – I think that there was a legitimate reason, perhaps, when we were watching pro sports make their way through that. I just don't know that that was necessary to maintain it.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't either. And I do think that there should be some merit to the regular season. And by the way, I do hear folks every now and then with college basketball say, well, the regular season doesn't mean anything. It's what you do in the tournament. Well, the regular season means something because you may not get in the tournament if you don't do enough in the regular season. So do I think the tournament is more important than the regular season? I do, but you still have to qualify. You still have to win enough games to get there. So at least there is some merit. And here's the other thing, too. Theoretically, you were rewarded by your seeding based on how good your regular season is. Now, that hadn't really played out this year, right? Since
right.
We've seen so many upsets along the way. But the regular season has meaning, one, to get in the tournament, secondly, for seeding. And sometimes the seeding can be beneficial. Not necessarily this year, but sometimes it can be.
It sure can be. So I can see, again, why it's worked in some instances where it has not been something that rubbed me the wrong way, but in others I would prefer it to be what it has been, that you earn it through an 80 or 82 or 162 game season, as opposed to, yeah, we'll just we'll take any and all that we can squeeze in there, because I just think you have that's something that should be earned.
Even teams with a losing record can get in, so
yep,
not a fan of that.
No, not at all.
I tell you what, let's go ahead and hear from Glenn Ellerbe, Tennessee offensive line coach. He met with the media, talked about his unit. Here comments from Coach Ellerbe.
Coach, you guys bring back Gerald and Jeremiah from the left side, have John coming in from Miami, Dane's back. How are you kind of sorting and figuring out where your best options are at those two tackle spots early on?
Yeah, really similar to the process when Cade left. You know, you had JJ and we brought in Mincy. Nell had been in the offense. It was easier for him to flip and still be able to play and let those two guys kind of sit left side and learn. Now they're the ones that are flipping and rotating and trying to be able to play right so that John can take some at left. And same thing with Dane. Like, those three are kind of the guys that will move around and letting John, because that's what he had played previously, kind of learn and see if he can get comfortable on the left side.
Coach, I know you'll miss Darnell, but can you really describe losing Jerome Carvin just with his versatility and just kind of how healthy he always was and him being able to slide into play center? And kind of what do you envision as the backup to Cooper at this point?
Man, the only thing I disagree with that statement is how healthy he always was. That was a tough son of a gun now. He played through some things. He was just unbelievable. I think the first place you miss him is just in the room. Just who he was as a person, his attitude every day, his leadership. Man, like, probably is one of my favorite players of all time. And then you didn't realize how lucky you were. You had a starting left guard that could take only minimum number of snaps at center during a week. And if something happened, man, take off the glove, go to center, and not miss a beat. So that part definitely miss. It's almost like losing two positions for us. But, you know, Addison's been repping some center there, trying to figure that piece of it out. Vison's been repping some center, trying to figure that piece of it out. You have Ollie and Lamp coming back that both have played guard. You got Andre and Addison also that can have a chance to play guard. You know, just trying to piece all that together. It's kind of what spring is, you know, to see who can rise to the occasion and be the starting left guard and who can be the two center.
When you guys were recruiting Addison, he had his hands in a lot of different things, taekwondo and scouting and music and all that. What did that communicate to you about him? What did that tell you about Addison that he did so many things?
Just a highly intelligent guy, you know, just enjoys, you know, the processes of a different things besides just football or just academics. He is super intelligent. I think that translates for him. So I think that was probably the number one thing it told you, is that he wasn't just sitting there playing a video game all day.
In the back here, with Darnell Wright and Jerome Carvin departing, who is taking on the bigger leadership role now in the offensive line?
For sure, Coop. He's kind of been the cowbell, has gotten after guys when things haven't been right, has led in the meeting room, has coached on the field, has coached in the meeting room. Like the biggest compliment I can give to him, I was running a drill and two young guys weren't doing it right. And like, man, before I could even get to correct them, it was just like a flash. And Coop came out of nowhere, just like blurred across my face. He grabbed them, like started demonstrating, started doing it. I think that kind of leadership translates, man. Guys see that. Guys want to help coach and be a part of it. So he's not skipped a beat and has stepped right in on that leadership role.
Glenn, I think it's the first time we've talked to you since Joey got promoted to OC. Just kind of take me through that relationship that you have. And Coach Heupel and Joey both talked about how important you are to game plan during the week and all the ideas you bring. Just kind of take me through what you feel like your role is.
One, man, just really excited for Joey. Like, talk about just a great guy. One, I always used to say I used to be a lot more positive in my younger days. Something about offensive line and old age make you a little bit cranky. And he always, man, would just try to make me smile, try to be the positive energy in the room, and just unbelievable person on that side of it, and really understands the offense. Just I wish I was as smart as him and Hype. Those two guys are freaky intelligent and understand. Like, Joey knows what the overall mission and goal, what we're trying to get accomplished in every aspect. And he's done a great job. There's been seamless transition in the staff room. I don't know, just really, really happy for him. You know, and as far as I go, it's a collaborative effort. We all try to, you know, build the run game. I feel like the older I get, the more I listen to people and not just try to do stubborn things my own way, the better we are. So I always try to have as little ego as possible. And I've got great guys with me that help coach, and great guys in the past, and Abe's will still be a part of that process. So, you know, that's kind of my role.
I was going to ask you about Cooper's leadership. It seems like even for a young guy, he always had those leadership traits to him. Is he the same guy, even though now he's going into his junior year, or how have you seen him grow as a leader these last couple of months as y'all flip the calendar?
Yeah, I think every year he's grown. And like I said, just him and Rome kind of ran the room last year. And with Rome moving on, like, Coop just snatched the bull by the horns, man. Like, it's his room. Other guys are coming on, you know, Spraggs, Dane, Ollie, like, guys are leading. JJ and Mintz are trying to coach up young guys. Like, there's a good culture in the room. I love where it's at, but Coop, for sure, he just keeps getting better. There's a clinic tape with him. I was like, man, you know what? There's this undersized center. It kind of reminds me of you. And, man, that night he watched it, and the next day at practice he's doing stuff that is just freaky. And, you know, that's kind of the sign of a mature player, that all he wants to do is get better as a football player and then help other guys get better in the room too.
Can you talk about the specific skill set of some of your transfers, the two of them, Campbell and Karich specifically?
I think John, one's an older guy, love his intensity to the game of football, takes notes, cares about getting better, just loves the game. Like, sometimes you get guys that like the things that go around the game of football. He actually loves the game of football, and it's just so intent. Seasoned, knows a lot. Really, it's just about translating the plays from what they did to our verbiage and getting used to the tempo a little bit. But love what he brings. I think Andre's not as old as John, but Andre brings a motor and edge. The guy plays unbelievably hard, is really, really athletic. Kind of helps that demeanor of the room of, man, wanting to go be physical and try to move the line of scrimmage. So been really pleased with both of them.
And then how much did those bowl practices help the offensive linemen? Because typically that's looked at as a little bit more of a developmental position.
For sure. I think the young guys it did, and especially the guys that got to come in early in practice, one, to see what it's actually going to be like, two, to start learning the verb and seeing how it all pieces together. I think they showed up in January, and it was like you'd already taken a big step, and we were constantly trying to use that time meeting with them, taking advantage of every single second we could, and I think that's led to them being able to step in spring, take reps, and it's not just completely just bad. So,
Coach, going back to Andre, I think he played mostly tackle at Texas. You guys seem to have him working at guard. Why did you kind of view that move inside as something he could do for you guys?
Yeah, really, Andre was very versatile there. He was their sixth guy, came in, played tight end. He did play tackle on both sides. He had played guard as well. He had moved all around. I think the only position he didn't play was center. And he's kind of had experience everywhere. Most of his reps were at tackle. But, just body type, feel like that's where he's suited, what we do, the way he plays, and just our depth chart too, where I feel like we've got a little bit more depth at tackle. Thought his chance to help us immediately would be coming in and playing guard.
Coach, in year three, I know you've got some new faces that you're working in, but just how beneficial is it to have the continuity, the stability that you guys have had being here in the program? And you've got some older guys that can communicate the standard and expectation.
Yeah, man, it's great. Just because you're not having to coach every little thing. They're your eyes on the field. They're your eyes in the meeting room. Like I say, I try to have as little ego as possible, man. We're in the meeting room. Coop's coaching. Dane's coaching. Ollie's coaching. Guys see things that sometimes I don't see. And they know what we want. They know where we're trying to get end result-wise. And we're all on the same page, and it just helps us grow exponentially. Like where we're at this point in spring versus spring one or spring two, just knowledge base, just playing the game of football, pretty cool. A lot of fun, kind of, what you want it to be.
Glenn Ellerbe, Tennessee offensive line coach, and he's done a really good job. I did not think that the previous coach did a good job in developing those guys. I think Ellerbe has, and, John, I think that's one reason you've seen Tennessee's offense be so productive the last 2 years.
Boy, it really has been something, because when you look at areas where Tennessee exceeded expectations, I know, Jimmy, that because they had assembled the talent they had, that perhaps they had fallen short of performance, especially in the last season of Jeremy Pruitt's tenure. But I do think that you've seen that unit overperform and also develop some depth, which might have been a bit of an upset when you consider what they've had to work with and what they've done, as you point out, in developing those individuals.
Yeah, because it's hard to go through a season with the same five offensive linemen. That is rare. So you've got to have some folks ready to go in case there is an injury, and I think Ellerbe's done a good job in that regard.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Again, the program today is at Fieldhouse Social, University Commons, as you listen to 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Mr. Jimmy Himes, congratulations, sir. When I came to work at what was then Citadel Broadcasting, I was hired to produce your show. I fell in love with hanging out and working with you then, and you know what? Still in love with you today. Wait, that sounded weird. Don't make it weird. Love you, man. Congratulations.
Jimmy Himes. Wow. Scottie Pippen got to say that he played with Michael Jordan, right? Kyrie got to say that he played with LeBron. Shaq got to say that he played with Kobe, although he might like it the other way around. I got to say that I worked with Jimmy Himes. He's a pro. He made and makes me want to be better. He's excellent at what he does, but he's an even better person. And he's a hell of a pickleball player. Jimmy, we love you. You're the best.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Himes. As today, the program right there, University Commons at Fieldhouse Social.
Wow. The only concern there about this Michael Jordan stuff, he's never seen me jump, I can tell you that. So we can forget all that. I do remember Chris Marion coming aboard and being our producer, John, you remember that. And then with Howler, and Howler's been great to work with. Uber talented, both of them, both exceptional individuals, and it's been just an honor and a privilege to work in the same building with them, as, of course, it has been me working with you as well.
Well, I very much appreciate that, and it's just, again, still all – it's like all neurons are firing right now that it's that we have essentially 6.5 hours left.
I don't even want to think about it. Oh, man.
Actually, not even that. Simply for the fact that we get out a little early for baseball tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mentioned earlier that we've been so busy, both of us, the last number of weeks, that I hadn't really thought much about it. And then all of a sudden yesterday it kind of hit me. I was talking to my wife about it last night that not much more to this, but – it's been a great ride, a fun ride, and really enjoyed it and appreciated it. And a lot of that thanks goes to you. But the company's been great to me. The coworkers have been great, and it's just been a lot of fun. And we'll continue to do some things with Cumulus, but it just that daily grind and so forth. As I told somebody earlier today, John, you'll get a kick out of this. Tony Barnhart called me earlier today and said, "Well, I heard you're retiring." I said, "Yeah." He said, "How did you know?" And I said, I work so many hours during the week, and you do too, but during football season. I said, when I realized that the only free time I have is Sunday afternoon and I was too tired to play golf, that's when I knew it was time to hang it up. He said, "You were too tired to play golf?" I said, "Yeah. I'd sit down and watch an NFL game, fall asleep because I was so worn out." That's when I kind of knew it was time to hang it up.
That is a good got to read the tea leaves, read the room, as they say.
That's right.
So that's very nice. Right. Yeah. Very nice. But tell you what, why don't we go ahead and grab a break, and when we return, it'll be time for Slap Shots with Mike Murray. As our good friend, the president and GM of the Ice Bears, he will join us next as you listen to Sports Talk. And actually, I can throw this out there. So many kind words, but Jimmy, we have a listener, Travis, who just simply shared via the text line that he thinks that there are many great things that can be said about your time on the air, but he just wanted you to know that to Travis, the voice of Tennessee football will always be John Ward, and to Travis, the voice of Knoxville Sports Radio will always be Jimmy Himes. He says, "Thank you for everything you've done for Knoxville and Tennessee sports."
Well, that's mighty nice of Travis to say. I don't put myself in that category at all. I just tried to do a decent job, but yeah, that's very nice of him to say. It's in, and really, I'm the lucky one that's been able to cover so many great sports individuals, coaches, players. The other day I was at a tip-off club, and I was interviewing Chris Lofton, and I said, you know, he's one of the guys. Not only was he a great player, but a great person. And I've been fortunate to cover a lot of people that are great players and great people. Chris Lofton was one. Tony White was sitting right behind me. He was another one. There have been so many of those. And you know this, John, that is what makes our job enjoyable, is to be able to mix and mingle and cover not just great players, but great people as well.
Exactly. It really does. It makes all the difference in the world. We'll get a break. Time for Slap Shots when we return as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hey, Jimmy, this is Dave Nathan checking in from North Carolina. Congratulations on a fantastic career and all the best in what lies ahead in retirement. I told you a couple of months ago, the biggest thing that sticks out to me regarding your career is the impact that you've had on countless folks like myself who have been able to do some pretty special things in life. You set a great example with your leadership, your guidance, and maybe most importantly of all, your friendship. Thanks for everything. Enjoy retirement, my friend.
Sports Talk continues. We always look forward to Thursdays at 4:35 because that's when we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline and we get to say hello to our good friend Mike Murray, president and GM of the Ice Bears, as he joins us for Slap Shots. Mike, how are you?
I'm great. Always a privilege to be on the show as it is, but extra special to be on the show on this monumental day for Jimmy and such an amazing career coming to an end before the retirement party starts here in a few hours. So always a privilege for sure.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time. You need to tell us, what's it been like to have the folks on hand? Has your dad changed everything in terms of how the team's operating?
He's overanalyzed everything, but I mean, I think the guys are pretty dialed in now. My parents got to drop the puck on the red carpet on the first night they were here. I put him on the kiss cam later on that night. And then, I let my dad shout out the lineup before the game in the dressing room. And, we have a microphone that kind of subs out to the Jumbotron. And my dad had asked if he could say a few things to the guys before he yelled out the lineup. And I'm like, absolutely not. Because there's no telling what he would have said. It would have been a few things I've probably heard my whole career, but I didn't want to prolong the intro.
Mike, did you have record attendance numbers?
Yeah, we're actually 7,000, around 7,000 fans higher than we've ever been in our 21-year history, with one regular season game yet to go. And that particular game is a week from Friday. It's RC Racing night. And as I left the office, right now we only have 1,300 tickets left. So that could be our seventh sellout of the season. So hats off to the Ice Bear fans in this community that support us. All of our corporate partners are living it up right now because they're getting so much more exposure than they've ever have. And gosh, it won't be long for the postseason. It won't be long before we're circling back on those corporate partners to fill the dasher boards, to fill the box seats, and all the things that we do. So it's been a great year attendance-wise. For the most part, we've been averaging around 4,230 people a game. But like I said, we've had six sellouts, and it's absolutely amazing. And I can pretty much tell as soon as I walk in the bowl and I see the end zone seats filling up that we're going to be pretty much at capacity. So, we're, like I said, it's hard to believe we've only got three regular season games left, one at home before we hit the postseason again, for a record 21st straight year making the playoffs.
Do you attribute those attendance numbers to the product that you put on the ice as well as your promotions?
Yeah, absolutely. When it all comes together, there's no better feeling for me as the president GM to see that it all came together from our meetings in May to come up with the promotions, to hiring a new coach that understands the culture that we've created here in Knoxville. And we won't ever go backwards, to the fans that kind of buy into all of our promotions, our season ticket holders that, they keep, accumulating, which is awesome. And, like I said, secretly, I'm vying for keep knocking on the mayor's office door to let her know that we're outgrowing this building that's 60 years old, and you never know, one day if I keep knocking hard enough, it might happen. So it's great to see it all come together, but there's a lot of people, including yourselves, that let me do my show every week to be able to spread the good word about the Ice Bears and tell them what's coming up next. And like I said, you know more than anybody that this is such a sports town. That you got to win in this town, and that's how you get the culture. That's how you get the people to back you, and that's why we're the Ice Bears for 21 straight years.
That's well, it's remarkable that, of course, you haven't fallen short of the playoffs yet in any season, and you clinched another spot once again. But you guys are going to try and channel your inner Happy Gilmore tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's we came up with a name called Barely Golfing, and it's obviously the whole team's going to be there. I think we're right now at 90 players, or maybe creeping up on a little more. So there are some spots available, but you want to play with an ice bear, just simply call the office as soon as the radio show is over here. Join us on the links. You know, there'll be a few slap shots out there. Some guys, we got a lot of lefties out there. Just being hockey players, I shoot left. My dad taught me. I was about to line up to shoot left in golf, and my dad said, "Absolutely not. You're hitting it right." So I shoot left in hockey, play right in golf, and you know, maybe that's why I'm just a little weird all the way around. But yeah, it'll be a lot of fun tomorrow. We're looking forward to it. It's a 1 o'clock shotgun at Aguani Farms. You know, like I said, putting contest with a hockey stick, long drive contest with hockey gloves on. It's got a lot of great prizes as well. So, and we've got a lot of great sponsors behind it. So we're looking forward to it. All proceeds go to the Ice Bears Foundation, which in turn, like I said, helps us give back to the community more so than we've ever done before.
And not only did you have great things, you have that going on tomorrow with all the fantastic work that's gone into that, but also just another round of applause for the concert series from last week. That was outstanding, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, and kudos to the Coliseum staff for helping us get that. They got that stage out on that ice. As soon as the referees stepped off the ice, it took no less than 2 minutes to get the stage set up for Emily Wyrick, who, like I said, she's an up-and-comer. If you've not seen her sing before, she's absolutely amazing. And then Drake Milligan took the stage the following night. And again, the Coliseum staff did an amazing job getting the stage out there. We took the lights down, put the spotlights on, and our fans, you know, they come for, like you said, we always say, come for the fun, stay for the hockey. That was the first time we've ever done a concert series back-to-back nights, and it was a great success. So we're pretty happy about that.
Clinched a playoff spot for the 21st consecutive year. Mike, does anybody close to that in the SPHL? Does anybody else have a streak like that?
I don't believe so. I mean, like I said, we've taken a lot of pride in the product we put on the ice. Obviously the city and the community speaks for itself when that's kind of showed itself with the Legends weekend we had a couple weeks ago. How many of these guys that come back to relive the memories they had in Knoxville on the ice and off the ice for that matter. But I think it's a culture thing. It stems from the head coach buying into what the front office is selling as well. All those things come together, and it's just we never want to lose. We've got the most banners hanging in our rafters than any team in the SPHL, and we're looking to add one more.
So, what would be game one of the playoffs? What would the date be, and also what would be the playoff scenarios?
It's fast and it's furious. Like I said, we're in the Southern Professional Hockey League, and we know once things fire up in the spring, those average crowds kind of dwindle a little bit. But as it looks right now, if we didn't have Vermilion County fold midseason, we'd be in the fourth position, which we'd have home ice advantage. So it goes best of three, best of three, best of five in the 3 week span. And as of right now, because that team folded, we had to go to a percentage. So right now we're just on the outside, so we wouldn't have home ice advantage in the first round. But it looks like we'd have Friday 14th would be a save the date for anyone listening to get 5,000 people in the building to help us get through that game. If we can steal a win on the road the night before, the way I have it pegged right now, we're either going to play Huntsville, Evansville, or Roanoke in the first round. So that's the way it's kind of looking. But, our staff came up with a playoff theme. It's just simply called Bear Down. And that's what we have to do. Stay disciplined and bear down through this. And this is the time from the start, the very first episode of the show we've had this year, I mentioned that we're going to be a lot tougher than we were last year. And we're leading the league in penalty minutes right now. But that's nothing to boast about going into the playoffs. This is when you want to turn the other cheek and kind of play the right way to be able to, you know, hoist another trophy.
And you've got another. You guys do such a great job of giving fans the opportunity to be a part of every special event that you have, where you bring out new sweaters, but you guys are going to be having your end of season. You're going to be auctioning off the regular season sweaters after your last home game, right?
Yeah, we have our team picture on Tuesday. Obviously, they can't take their sweaters because we're going to be needing them for the playoffs. But the very last regular season game, we'll be auctioning them off. And our fans have, you know, they've been incredible with, you know, the money they spend on the auction to help help keep everything going for us. But the regular season jerseys will be auctioned off at the last game, and that's going to be our last big promos, RC Racing Night.
And that's a an adventure and a journey in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm always amazed, but I'm always appreciative of the new ideas that come out of our promotions meeting. And RC Racing was one that, you know, I'm not really into that much, but, you know, it was an idea from one of our staff, and it kind of ran with it. And lo and behold, you know, these people spend hundreds and maybe thousands on their RC cars, and to see them racing around on the ice, I think last year we had like 16 for the first time. I think we're over 40 right now for that are registered to race on the ice for that game. So like, just like wiener dog races, we'll have heats. And these people are pretty passionate about their cars, but to see them fly around on the ice, some of them get run over by the other cars, and it's just it's a fun intermission activity, and again, something so different than we do, you know, on any other night. So that's what makes it very unique to what we do.
And so, well, Mike, we wish you all the very best with a strong finish to the regular season, and good luck with the golf tournament tomorrow. And I know that, like me, you have certainly had a blast in sharing time with Jimmy Hyams in your time with us on Sports Talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jimmy, just I'm going to see you here in a couple hours, but I just want to thank you for the time that you've given the Ice Bears. I know you're on a station that's all Vol, everything's Vol, and I know what city we live in, everything's all Vol, and you've been so knowledgeable about everything that you talk about, but I truly appreciate on behalf of the entire organization the thought that you and the questions that you come up with for me each week. Just shows that you care about the Ice Bears as well, and that means so much to us. But before I go, I'm going to give you 5 bullet points. So I wrote down Jimmy retirement ideas. And so pick the one that you'd like, Jimmy, before I get off the phone. Would you like to be a goal judge for the Ice Bears, Zamboni driver for the Ice Bears, Chili Bear handler, color analyst with Joel, or just be like my dad, retired, sit back on the couch and overanalyze everything because you can?
Do I get to talk to the team?
Well, I didn't want my dad.
Absolutely
not. Absolutely not.
Okay. If you have insurance, I want to be a Zamboni driver. You gotta have insurance.
Okay, you got it.
All right. You got it.
You'll be the first Zamboni driver that wears a helmet.
Love it.
Mike Murray, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Mike.
You as well. And that's Mike Murray, president and GM of the Ice Bears, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break and be back to close out hour number 2 of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Hey, Jimmy, this is Jeff Jarnigan. In 2016, when I joined Cumulus, one of the most attractive elements of the job was the quality of the staffs of all the stations in the building. And at the top of that list, Jimmy Hyams. I knew your work as a fan before I ever joined the company, and I've grown to appreciate it even more as your coworker. No one prepares more, does more background thoroughly, or takes the credibility of his information more seriously than Jimmy Hyams. It's been a pleasure to be your coworker and an honor to consider you as a friend. Thank you for all the years invested in doing Sports Talk Radio the right way. And here's to many healthy years of enjoying the coming honey-do lists.
I think somebody's putting pen to paper as we speak. Final segment.
I was surprised that on my honey-do list it said drive the Zamboni. How about that for a honey-do list?
That would be something.
I was surprised she knew I wanted to do that. Yeah.
You've got the time to. Coming up. Not yet, but
yes,
coming up.
Yeah.
But anyhow, we've got just a quick second here before the end of this second hour of the program. Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com will join us next. So why don't we check in with Doug? You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Doug. Doug, you with us?
Can y'all hear me?
Oh, there you go.
Yo, can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's good to talk to you guys. I haven't called in a while. It was good to run in y'all at the Alcoa West game here earlier in the season. You know, it's my favorite time of the year right now. Opening day of Major League Baseball is my absolutely favorite time of the year. Go Yankees. But that's not what I called about. Jimmy, I just want to say congratulations, man. I've gotten to know y'all through the years. I haven't talked to y'all much over the past few years, but Jimmy, it's been an honor and a pleasure to talk to you throughout the year. And good luck and whatever, you know, the rest of what your retirement brings you. Just enjoy life and have fun with it and watch the kids and grandkids grow up. That's all you can really do right now. It's been my pleasure to get to know you. I mean, it really has. I just wanted to get your all's thoughts. I've got Miami beating FAU for the national championship. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that. And I'm going to pull a classic sports talk line. I'm going to hang up and listen to your comments. And again, Jimmy, it's been a pleasure getting to know you through the year.
Well, Doug, we certainly
appreciate
the call.
Nice of you to say. If he had seen my bracket, he wouldn't be asking me what my thoughts are on this. However, I've got UConn winning it all. I am very impressed with them. I think they've got all the ingredients to win a national championship. They've got the guard play. They got the rebounding. They got the inside play. They got the defense. They have been the most impressive team that I have seen. So I've got UConn winning it, John.
Well, I'll tell you this. The one thing we know from what the bracket has shown us, it's possible. I mean, I don't think there's any question. It could happen just as easily as anything else because that's the incredible, crazy tournament that it has been. So I don't think there's any question that you can look at. And I do think, I agree with your statement, and I'll say that first. I do believe that UConn is the best team still standing. At the same time, I do think that there are reasons you can point to with the other three. I mean, Miami's just riding such an incredible hot hand. The fact that they survived that game against Texas the way they did tells you that they can handle anything that comes their way. Doesn't mean they will, but you know they can. Same for FAU. You can look at the four matchups that we've seen with them already, and you can look at reasons why they shouldn't have advanced past the first one, Memphis. And just think, if the Tigers hadn't been busy fighting amongst themselves, they might have eliminated the Owls in that first round. And then, of course, with San Diego yeah. State, what they did against Alabama was beyond impressive. So I do think that every team has shown you a reason why perhaps they don't have it to win a national championship, but every team has also demonstrated they certainly can.
And one of the craziest stats I've seen is that Florida Atlantic, which is not a tall team, leads the field in offensive rebounds at 40%. Now, how in the world? Now, look, I get that rebounding is considered a hustle stat, but every now and then the ball bounces to you, and you're just standing there. And I think maybe they've gotten the benefit there, but that's amazing to me that a team that's not very tall has gotten more offensive rebounds than anybody else left in the Final Four.
Yes, and that, like you said, that is a head-scratcher for sure, but that's also been exactly what they've showcased is they can get in there and compete with anybody. But what we'll do is get a break. When we return, we'll be joined by Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. He's on board with us for his weekly visit as you listen to Sports Talk today at Fieldhouse Social as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Hey, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.